Welcome to the Human Experience Podcast, where we have folks of all different walks of life share their trials and tribulations, ideas, cerebral chatter, and experiences. We seek to open minds, shed light, and make our modern world feel a little less lonely, realizing that we are all connected, one human experience at a time. I'm your host, Aisha Billy. I would like to thank you for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy. Missy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm very grateful to have you, and I'm very grateful to have met you, because I feel like we had that instant connection where, again, we just met in the sauna. I feel like I meet a lot of really good people in the sauna.
I think so, too. I think people coming to the gym have that energy where they want to get right, either mind, body, or soul. And they're there doing it. And so we're like-minded, want to get right people.
That's actually a good point. Because in my mind, I was like, maybe the sauna's just charmed. Maybe it's just like a charmed place. But you're kind of right. Like, it's because of the intention that we come in with.
Yeah.
So we met because you were schooling a ton of fucking men in the sauna. Do you remember that?
I'm always doing something like
you
that.
You were schooling the fuck out of them.
What was I schooling them about?
You were just talking about, like, energies, like masculine and feminine energies.
Go ahead.
It was like a guy who wasn't understanding, like, just basic shit.
But he was dating a girl, right?
I don't know if he was.
He was dating a girl, and he said something like, he doesn't do anything for her, but she had ended up cheating, and he didn't understand why,
right? Something like that,
and he was like, well, I don't understand why you'd want to leave and go with somebody else. But I asked him, like, what are you doing in the relationship? And he was like, well, I'm not doing anything. And I was like, well, she literally has any other option other than you. Like, the grocery store guy isn't doing more. Like, he's bagging.
He's bagging her shit. That's what I was about to say.
So, yeah. Like, and he was like, he was dumbfounded, but also, like, anytime I'm speaking to someone, especially nowadays, there's a spectrum that I like to really take into account. And I mean that in the most respectful way, only because I feel like so many times we're having these interactions with people and we don't give them the benefit of the spectrum account. And that is misleading because then you're assuming everyone thinks like you or moves like you. And so sometimes, yeah, you got to kind of dumb it down, not dumb it down, simplify it for people to understand. So even though, yes, for the rest of it was amusing because I think the rest of us kind of get it. I don't know if he
had a moment where it finally clicked. And I remember being like, you said, you got it. You were like, yeah, that's it. You got it. And I remember sitting there listening to the whole thing. And I'm like, do I chime in? Do I not chime in? And then he walked
chime
out.
Chime in everywhere.
And I think that's when I chimed in. And I was like, I could tell you were open and such a warm person. And my favorite people are open and warm. And you had like this existentialism to you and like a mentoring energy where I knew I could come and ask you questions and you would be open to it.
Yeah.
And I'm like that too. I love to teach people. And then I love to be taught as well.
I love
to
learn.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love to learn and I love to teach and relate
concepts.
Or even
just hear a different person's opinion, even if you don't agree. It's like, okay.
And I could tell you're very open to that. Yeah. And I could tell that like you had this evolved like ego that it wasn't going to be, if I asked you a question, it wasn't going to trigger you. It wasn't going to annoy you. It wasn't going to, you know, make you spiral. So I started picking your brain a little bit and I was like, oh my God, I love talking to her. And then I was like, do you identify as a light worker? And you were like, so no, but like some people are telling me that
I didn't know what it was when you asked me that. And you had actually taught me even a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
But, the reason why it resonated is because someone had just told me probably the week before, like, I think you're a light worker. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, what is this? And maybe a baseline. But you just had more information on it. I was like, okay. Because you're a light worker.
Yes. And so what was serendipitous about that was before you and I interacted, I, funny enough, had this, like, strong connection and interaction with the makeup girl at Sephora. I came in, I just wanted to look around. Like, I love going to Sephora. I love walking out with the full face of makeup. I love makeup. I love
too.
I could go in and
sample.
Wait,
are you doing it or are you letting them do it?
I do it myself, but I'll let them do it if they want. I remember I just went to Six Flags with my friend and I wanted to get like, I didn't have neon lipstick and I was like, let's go into Sephora and I'll put some on. And he goes, shout out Milan.
I'm walking out with it. And mom was like, can you just walk out with that makeup? I'm like, they're not going to ask me to take it off. Because right. he saw me do a full face yeah. in there and walk out with it. Yeah. He was like, is this allowed? Like, can you leave with that lipstick on? Like, do you have to take it off? And I was like, no, it's the best. Anyway, she came up to me and I was like, you know, I do want a new foundation and I don't understand a lot of
skin.
See,
they don't lose
skin.
When they let you play. They don't lose because you're going to think about it and you're going to be like, oh, this was really great. This is really great.
She did sell me on it for sure. Same. I didn't buy it there. Yeah. It was It Cosmetics, which I ended up not even being able to get it because I went in to get it, but I had gotten sunburn and then the girl matching me was like, none of the It is like matching on you. So I ended up going with another one. But she was matching me, and I felt this very spiritual vibe off her, right? Mm-hmm. And I was tired, though, and I was burnt out. And I said, I'm not going to initiate this conversation. I'm too tired. But I could tell she's, like, spiritual. And then as she's, like, looking at the makeup package, she initiates a conversation. And I'm like, all right, we're doing this. So anyway, we had this whole conversation, and I was telling her, like, I was like, I'm really struggling on Earth. Like, I just am. I'm not in that place anymore. I'm feeling so much better on the other side of all of that stuff, and I see now why it happened. But she told me, she was like, right now is a really, really, really challenging time for light workers. There's no sustenance. There's so much collective pain, and we are highly sensitive people. And she was just like, this is probably why you're feeling this way. And I was like, it helped me so much. So when she said that to me a couple days later, it was within that same week, I went into the sauna and I met you, and I was like, I feel like this girl is a light worker too, and I should maybe mention something to her about it. Okay. And I saw it resonate with you right away. But it's like, if you don't have the language yet, it's new, you know. Right. Even if it's not new, it's new,
right?
So that was like, it's just so serendipitous, like speaking with her and then interacting with
and
you
having
afterwards.
It was supposed to happen in threes. Was there one other thing?
There may have been, for sure.
You didn't point out that it was part of it?
I mean, I think it was, like, lightworker related. I was so deep diving into that at that time because it was helping me understand myself a bit more deeply. And, like, obviously, like, we don't really know what we don't know, you know? Like, we're on Earth. Like,
I love that, though.
I agree with you.
So many people are terrified of that very statement you just said. I don't know. You know what I mean? But I love the fact that I don't know. I remember I've told you that. Like, the fact that I don't know, like, for instance, what God is, I'm so settled by that.
Why?
It makes me feel good to know that I don't know. I don't have to know something that's bigger than me. Some things you just don't understand. And it makes me feel good to know that I don't know. So then I don't need to place a label on it. I don't need to be these things, fearful, all these things. Like, I can just accept it. Like, it just is.
Well, there's so many people who fight that.
So many. But, I mean, it's control. Well, again, we're going to talk about spectrum. We're going to talk about intelligence.
What do you mean by spectrum?
Spectrum on the spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just for like sure. In general, there's going to be, and I don't think we have enough testing for that. Like, I'm advocating hard for it right now because after I saw that love on the spectrum, I was like, wow, I've dated someone on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. I'm encountering them all the time. I did speed dating. They were, yeah. I'm probably, you know, we're all on the spectrum. So I'm probably somewhere too. I've gotten awkward or had my moments where I'm really, really good in this thing. And then like I lack. So it's just like, but I feel like, I forgot what I was just saying.
We were talking about...
Why people get scared about not knowing. Yeah, I just feel like it's... Some people feel comfort in having to know, which is so odd. Because they use this word faith, which is like a way to say don't ask any questions.
How to be okay with not knowing.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so it's true. Like, you're okay with faith, but you're not okay to just acknowledge you don't know. When those are the same thing, but faith is claiming that we do know, but we don't. You know what I mean? Like, have faith that he did this or that it did that. And I'm just like, well, how about it's just bigger than everything and everybody? Like, if we only have access to this universe and we don't even have access to, like, the deepest part of our oceans, much less the outer limits of our universe, times that by infinity.
Yes. Quite literally.
Infinity.
Yeah.
And then so... Then it just means that if there is a God, if God is in existence, then it has to be the existence of life. God is then simultaneously life. The existence of any life, no matter how small or how big or how weird or how different or where at, God is life. But I feel less attached to the word God because growing up, I feel like that word was something I can personify.
Well, that word is also something that was used to indoctrinate us.
Yeah.
So you're completely right.
So I just picture him as this white man with a beard in the sky.
And in actuality, it's like everything we touch, breathe, feel, see, like every little tiny, it's all, we're God. Like, it's God.
Those are my beliefs too. And I remember my senior year of college, my therapist was like, I have a book for you. It's actually called The Book, and it's by Alan Watts. And he talks about his concept of God, and he says, he would say, we are all God. God is all us.
Yeah.
And we have a hard time seeing it because just as the eyes can't see themselves, the teeth can't bite themselves. That's kind of how he conceptualized, like, God almost not being able to, like, see itself. And of course, like, we can self-realize and accept that. Where I feel like I've, in my, like, spiritual ascension journey, I feel like I am aware of that now. But him using that analogy was helpful. It was really such an interesting take because we know we have eyes, we see with them, but our own eye can't see itself. But right. It's still it doesn't take the validity away of like what it is, right. You know. So
right,
I agree with that we are all like essentially manifestations of
God. I think the thing that is the hardest part for me is when we use it to explain our actions, good or bad. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or it becomes like a motivator.
Duality or like...
Yeah, like, I don't know. The devil made me do it.
Or like a fear mongering.
100%. That's 100% what it's about. Which is a low vibrational consciousness. And while we're all like going through evolution every day, all of us in general.
Earth,
like,
all of it.
Even whatever, yes. Like, I mean, what were we before? Homo sapiens, there was like 3 or 4 categories for what humans were when we separated from being on the, like, monkey spectrum into, like, standing and
Neanderthals.
Being, yes, yep. Yes, and using tools, and our brains got bigger, and so our heads got changed, and the way we looked are changing over time. I don't know. It's just, there's a lot there that faith doesn't really explain, but science does. And so, I don't know, when you start researching, you just kind of find out truths. And there, you can have, it's weird because the more things that I find out about my spiritual understanding now, the more I notice it in other people without talking to them. Like, I have had these thoughts, yeah, sure, I've read some things or I've whatever, but I will literally just sit sometimes and be like, what is life? Why are we here? What are like, I'm just overthinking about this stuff.
An existential crisis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I have them all the time.
So do I.
Every day almost.
Yeah.
Probably right now. And so it's, sorry, I turned this off. What was I just?
Existential crisis every day. God indoctrinating. It's a word that's like good or bad.
Right. I forgot where my point was going with this. But, oh, yeah, since we were... So evolution, once you start looking at those facts, it kind of takes you away from the very fundamental of what we're taught in religion. And I was raised Catholic.
I was going to ask, were you raised religious?
I was raised very, very Catholic.
Okay.
I was going to Sunday school. I taught Sunday school.
Oh, my God.
I went to, like, Catholic camp. I was a counselor at Catholic camp. I was going to, like... retreats and making schools in Mexico, like for the kids out there, and
you, like a missionary.
Yeah, I was like, and I was a server, like not a server. What do they call us? The people who hold the at mass. There's mass, and we have to like bring the bread to the Father so he can bless it, and then we stand by him and hold it while he passes the bread out. Like, basically, it was supposed to be only men, but in my church they let women, and so I was always doing it. But it's just like when you start looking at even just the fundamentals, okay, Adam and Eve, it's just like, poof. You know what I mean? Like, where do you stand on if there's no foundation? And then you start doing some digging and you're like, oh.
Yes. So I was actually raised Muslim.
Okay.
And like
quite. I like that religion.
It's definitely more of like.
I feel like it's closer.
There's more. I agree with that. There's definitely more of like an existential, poetic, like philosophicalness to it when you study it. But I wanted to ask you, actually, before I tell you, what age were you when you started having that? Where you were like, I don't know about this.
I guess I moved out here. It was just shortly after college.
Okay, so like early 20s.
Yeah, shortly after college, I moved out here and I was going to church by myself. Like, I was dedicated. I was like, I'm going to go to church out here. Mm. Now that I live out here, I'm going to be part of the community out here. And... I don't know. I made friends with this girl who was very, very Jesus. Very, very Jesus. And at home, we'd go to church and my grandparents would start arguing and fighting. And then we'd go to brunch. And, like, I'd be like, how do we leave something that's supposed to be so serene and so, like, peaceful and really elevate our souls to this godlike manner, whatever we thought God was? How do we do that? And then you guys are immediately, instantly with negative energy, fight, angry, mad about something, da da da. Later, I know why, looking back. I mean, my grandma had diabetes. I don't think it was diagnosed, and she was having a flux of emotions. So her whatever. Totally.
Yeah.
But I mean, just in general, like, sometimes when I look at their actions, I'm like, this is not what you guys are preaching at. I'm trying so hard. Like, I'm not masturbating as a child because I'm scared I'm going to go to hell. You know what I mean? And then I started it and I was like, oh shit, like, I'm going to die. I'm going to hell. I was waiting for marriage. Like, I was doing all these things to try to fit into it. And so I moved out here. I made friends with that girl. I'm not going to say her name. And I was like, oh, I found my people. Like, she's mixed like me. She's super Jesus. Like, this is great. And she was very fake. Very fake. She'd be kind if you're just, like, off bat. Like, let's say you come to her house for, like, a Thanksgiving or something. She's kind this way. But when it comes down to it, she was cold and she was mean. And she, like, one time I was over and she, you know, she's, oh, wait till Missy leaves to smoke the blunt. Like, also, I can wow. hear you, but, like, why would you do that? Like, you're claiming Jesus so hard. I want to share everything. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way it is.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. I mean, I've got my limits. I was raised an only child, so sometimes I can be kind of a brat. But, like, if it's smoking a blunt and it's the two of us and there's one more person, like, it's really not that serious. But to say it and then make sure I hear it, and which is awkward. And I'm just like, that was one of the many issues that I was just like, okay, like, I'm seeing that there is hypocrisy, a lot of hypocrisy, and that doesn't sit right with my heart and my soul and my energy at all. I don't want to say I'm one thing and then the same people I'm saying I'm like, they're doing these other things, but I don't relate to. And also now I'm masturbating. You know what I mean? Like, God save me. I've had sex before before my marriage. I'm going to die. Like, I'm going to hell. Like, yeah. No one can save me. And it raised so much anxiety. COVID did the same thing. Raised so much anxiety that I was like, I can't control it. And so I'm just not.
You spun yourself out tired with the anxiety. And just you said,
I just can't because I couldn't live up to something. And I know I was a good person, but this was making me feel like I wasn't. It was making me feel like I wasn't. And then when I see her and I'm like, she's not, and she's claiming this, I'm not like that.
She was like a clarifier for you.
Yes.
But in a painful way.
It was, yeah. One time, you know, I asked her, like, hey, you want to? She's like, well, if it's not about Jesus, then I don't think we have anything in common. I was like, we do improv together. We like going dancing together. We hang out. We smoke weed together. Like, what do you mean? She's like, nope, if it doesn't have Jesus, I don't want to do it. And it was much longer than this. And she actually harassed me. And then she had her husband harass me on Instagram, which was very Jesus-like, right? Which is literally fuel to the already, like, and I told her, I was like, you know what? I wasn't going to tell you this, but you're the reason why I decided, like, why I pulled away from my religion.
Wow.
Because it was like, no, she wasn't the only reason. She was just the nail in the coffin.
She was the, like, the catalyst.
She was the, okay, this is it. Yeah. And this is when I got away from religion, is because of her, essentially. Because I was like, all of this is happening, and now someone I look up to and I hold in high regard, and a lot of other people do too, and you're a snake. I can't
reconcile.
This doesn't make sense. This is not making sense. It doesn't make sense that it has so much control and that you're burning people that you're calling witches or making them drown, or you're doing these things to just people. Like, okay, people make bad choices, but I don't think that we as humans have the right to call what happens with them. Like, I don't even like killing bugs, really, because I'm like, who am I?
We don't have the right to hit judgment, to hit the gavel and do judgment. Yeah.
Yeah. So I won't even kill a bug sometimes. So I'll be like, unless it's a mosquito, because those moths, they're out to get me. I've got sweet blood. They love me. But, like, in general, like, I don't want to kill, because I don't feel like I have the right to take your soul's life. I don't know what your journey is. If I'm walking and running and I step on you, that was the life. That was what it was, because, like, we're different, okay? But that being said, like, I just don't feel like we have the right to do that. And there was so much judgment. Mm-hmm. So much judgment in most religions. Oh, I don't know if there's a religion that there's not judgment. Judgment, because if I'm this way,
it would be like Zen Buddhism, which is technically a philosophy, too.
Which is beautiful.
Which, like, I don't even know if that actually lacks judgment, too. And you're completely right. And this topic of judgment is super, super intriguing because, like, as humans, we can't not judge because it, you know, like,
it's our protection mechanism.
It's our protection and it's the way our brains work, but it's the judgment that you're talking about is like a judgment in regards to someone's worth to someone's soul journey, to someone's soul path. Like, it's different, you know, and you can't read someone's intentions. They could tell you what their intentions are, and you could be super intuitive and have a strong hunch, but at the end of the day, like, you said this to me, and this was actually a very unveiling moment. It was at the gym, and I was saying, like, you know, this human journey, I was like, it's isolating because our brains, like, we have the ego that's a secret container. Yes. So I know where Aisha ends and Missy begins.
Yeah.
And you were like, that's why we come down here, though, to have these.
I was having probably a rough day when I said that.
Really?
Because when I have rough days, like, I feel, because we're lonely. Humans are lonely. And we try to say we're not lonely. We try to fill voids with other people, with things, all this stuff. But I don't think we spend enough time to realize lonely is not a negative thing if you can address, like, why we're lonely. And we're lonely because we have thoughts in our head that no one else can feel and think.
Exactly. Like, at the end of the day, you're the one who will only ever know all the things that went through
here. You could say it's beautiful and mean. I don't like that bitch. It's completely, and sometimes you don't have control of these thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Intrusive.
It could be whatever. And so sometimes I'll feel like lonely, or I'll feel like, okay, what the fuck? And I have to remind myself, like, because you were saying it earlier, like, sometimes you just get tired of the human experience. Like, I don't want to die. It's not what I'm saying. But sometimes I feel like I've experienced it, and I get it. I've loved, I've lost. I get it. Like, I get it. And I know that's probably pompous in a way, but sometimes I just feel like that. I'm just like, okay, what the fuck is next? What is next? Like, anything, what is next? Like, I talk to the alien sometimes, this guy, I'm like, come get me. Like, I'm ready. Like, you know, like, whoever. And I just get to this point. So usually I have to remind myself, like, okay, like, my soul, the want of my soul, because we have many different wants, like our soul's wants, our heart's wants, our body's wants, our brain's wants. These are all different wants that are, like, all, you have to, like, filter on what is what in yourself. But your soul's wants always going to be, like, a consistent thing. And so I was like, okay, my soul wanted to come down in this physical form and experience this physical experience. So any hard time that I have, this is to learn the lesson. What is your lesson? Any good time I have, this was to actually experience beautiful, like, whatever that is. What is that? Take that memory, latch onto it. So it just kind of brings me back down when I'm feeling like shit.
Like, it's all in the contract.
Yeah.
You know about, like, soul contracts, or, like, have you ever heard that?
I mean,
that?
That's a good way to put it.
So somebody, the first time somebody said this to me, I think I was 22. I was at my friend's wedding, and I was seated with this girl I haven't met before yet. And she, again, like the girl I met at Sephora, like, kind of like that mentoring moment. And she started telling me about soul contracts. And she was saying, like, you know, obviously these are a set of beliefs, like, take it or leave it. But she was saying that in your soul contract, you actually agree to who your parents are going to be, to who your lover is going to be, to if you experience a huge loss. Like, I believe that there's predestined and there's free will. Whatever is predestined is sprinkled, and the free will is also within
that. Right, there's choices that you can have.
There's choices, and then some things are predestined.
Which is why you'll learn something over and over and over again.
Until you finally learn it. I think me moving to LA was predestined. I think what I did for work here was more like free will. I could feel like what was in contract and what
kind of
was free will. And I was like, that's so interesting. So she was saying you pick, you know, your parents depending on, like, what skills or what lessons your soul
wants to
learn.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, okay, I'm going to piggyback on that.
Yeah.
Instead of it even just being like a specific parent or this, I think what you're saying is true. I think it's more that we are deciding what lessons we want to learn. As souls, we already know what we're missing. So how do we add to that in the different experiences of the different places we can be in the universe? The human soul, we're definitely going to feel the chance to be alone. We're not going to have this raised consciousness where everybody understands and hears each other.
Yep.
Even if we can, we don't have access to it right now, not at where we're at. But then we're also going to have human emotions, which is why I've told you already, I like to separate that from God, because people say God has love and hate and all this. But, like, no, emotions are purely human.
Yeah, and in the body.
It's beautiful.
In the flesh.
I mean, we even try to give it to dogs. Like, oh, the dog loves me. But a dog does not know human love. A dog knows loyalty.
Mm.
A dog knows how to be a dog, or, like, whatever that means for it. We can call it love because we see that action and we perceive it the same as love. But that doesn't make it love for the dog. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Which is why they don't, like, I can love someone doesn't mean I'm willing to give my life for them. A dog will give their life for you.
Fascinating.
Doesn't even have to know you and will protect you against another person.
But the ego's so different.
Do you see what I'm saying?
For the human versus the
animal,
yeah.
But we claim it has love. Same thing we do to God. Same thing we do to cars when we're watching a cartoon and this car loves this other car. We have to personify things, otherwise we don't understand them. Some of us do not understand them, or to clarify, the people who cannot understand it. But I like the separation.
That is so fascinating.
Isn't that deep? Yes. But I think that's what it is. I think that we're deciding, like, we're like, okay, I know what I'm lacking right now from whatever experience I had before, whether I was a cockroach on Earth or was on planet 325 on whatever, being this Mimu person, okay? What do I need? Okay, I can go to Earth to have this experience. I'll have my aloneness and my lone thought. I'll get to see what that means for the part of me that whatever, and I'll explore that.
Do you know Dolores Cannon? She passed away now, but she was a past life regressionist, and she would regress people. And in her teachings, I really like her lectures. I find them very mentally stimulating. I'll just pull them up on YouTube and I'll listen to it like a podcast. But in In her beliefs, like, we have to, like, human is the highest form of incarnation in this dimension, and you have to be basically every being thing.
Oh, in this dimension.
Until you become human.
Interesting.
And
I think about it the same way. Keep going.
What was I going to say? You said something and it made me think of her.
The life experience, coming down here, getting to feel emotions, personifying things that we understand.
She would say in her teachings that souls reincarnate or incarnate to Earth for expedited soul growth, because being a human is tough, because this is such a dense dimension, and that, like, a really, really young soul couldn't incarnate here as a human immediately. Like, they would, it's too violent. Like, this is a very violent dimension as well. So she would say that, like, this is where souls incarnate to have a quick growth spurt in their soul's journey. So that's why I was also, like, piggybacking off of what you said.
Yeah.
And with parents, I was telling these two girls, I was like, you know, to learn lessons. And one of them kept saying to me, or a skill. And I said, it makes sense to me, though. Like,
yeah, of course.
My mom is so viciously efficient. I grew up a poor kid. My mom grew up actually a poor kid. She's from a third world village. Runaway. So is my dad. Third world village. Runaway. Like, ate on the floor. Like, as third, like, killed their animals. Like, as third world as you could think it. Ran away to Istanbul in the 70s from her village when she was 17. Her mom died when she was very young, like 11. And her dad's basically, like, has multiple wives. Piece of shit. I've spoken to him only twice in my life. Made her way to New York. Ended up being, like, an entrepreneur. She has a fifth grade education. Can't read or write. But she is the most efficient and entrepreneurial person. And the way she can stretch a dollar, it's unbelievable. And she ended up buying property in New York. It didn't happen until her 50s, but she did that.
Yeah.
You know?
Good for her.
With little... Yeah, it's astounding.
Yeah.
And I was reflecting on, like, what my soul wants to do in this life. And I know I want to build. Whatever it is, whether it's a business, a community, I know I'm a builder. Like, I know how to put four, you know, poles down and stick, like, to create foundation and to grow off of that. And I said to myself, that's the skill I got from my mom, though. Because especially after I moved here, I started studying acting at a school that was expensive. I only took a class, but all the full-time kids, they came from affluent backgrounds.
As well.
So I act, and I have acted, and I've been paid to act, but I don't really say I'm an actor, but I can.
They're looking to cast someone, so I'll
just
send it to you.
Okay. I just don't say it because to me it's such a serious craft. It's so deep. Like, we talk about feelings, right? That's what actors have to do. They have to experience. If your son dies in your role, you're experiencing your son dying. And guess what? If you have 20 takes of that, you've been experienced it 20 times. So that's why I'm a little hesitant to say him, because I have so much respect towards the craft. But I absolutely have a background in training in it. So anyway, at the school, I was with very affluent kids. Like, kids whose parents... you know, and I've never been in that circle before. And, you know, I always had this, like, that's rich people shit. That's white people shit, you know, just very on the outside. And now I'm friends with, like, richer people or whiter people. So now I feel like I've created bonds, right? And then they would sometimes, like, a friend of mine would be in a crisis because, let's say, they're not good with their parents and they want to get off their parents' payroll and be independent. They have no idea what they're doing. Like, they don't know how to stretch a dollar at all. They don't know how to, like, be efficient with their money to a point where I'm like, oh my God, I get it now. When parents talk about being so terrified for their kids being out in the world, I feel that towards my really, really rich friends who don't know how to do shit.
Yeah.
I feel like a genuine like fear for them. So anyway, I was just reflecting. I was
They're going to learn their lesson too, their journey.
They absolutely will. And then, and they came for whatever theirs is. Reflecting back to like mine, I was like, that must have been why I incarnated with the parents that I did, because they're so practical with it. And also, they have such a clear insight into the things that money just can't buy. And I really value that. Like, I'm so big on relationships and quality time. And like,
I wonder how linear our souls are to our parents.
So I actually,
how connected, you know what I mean? Like, are we them having their new experience? Not like that, but like, kind of like that.
So I went to a past life reader and she was telling me, she was like, you can't conceptualize what the soul is. She was like, the soul is like a thing that exists in multiple places at once. Like, don't even try. So like God,
we just don't understand it.
So she put it like that. And I asked about my parents because I was like, you know, I feel such a close draw to them.
Sometimes I feel like I am my grandmother.
So you might
have... But like a different version of her.
And it might be like... So like... I don't know a lot about this, but I know for twin flames, you know, we always think it's a lover, but when I actually read about twin flames, it's, you know, a soul that separates into two separate bodies. Mm. And typically from like past life readers and people like Dolores Cannon, they would say it's more commonly a grandparent and a grandkid. Like there's usually a big age gap.
I feel like I'm a grandma sometimes. And I'm just like, number one, I know I was put here to teach her. Mm. She's white and I'm black. And I'm just like, that's a journey. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes I'm like, I'm living the life, even though it's not perfect, that I think that she wished somehow she could have had. And so, like, I feel like, because she has had three kids. She's living with a guy. She was kind of miserable. Like, they're kind of miserable. Like, but whatever. I don't know. You're living with someone forever. Maybe everyone. I don't know. But I just feel like I have exactly opposite of that. I'm free. I'm out of things. But I'm not like my mom who tried to do that. But she was, like, on drugs. Was, like, another whole thing. And she had two kids. I feel like I'm exactly the opposite. Like, with my career, following those kinds of things, I don't have, like, a consistent love. I don't have any children. And sometimes I feel like... Am I like your wildest dreams? You know what I mean? Like, were you just like wishing all these things and now I'm living this thing kind of connection? I don't know.
Like she took that part and then you took this part of like the journey.
Like while she was in her journey, she must have been wishing, oh, I wish I didn't have kids, or I wish I didn't, because she talks about it sometimes, you know, like not wishing she didn't have kids, but obviously you want a different life. And sometimes the fun she used to have before she was married, the boy she used to hang out with and being in France and living her best life, she talked about these things fondly. And sometimes I'm like, I wonder if I'm her unspoken wishes for what she wished she had when she was younger her whole life.
Yeah. We don't know, but you could be.
I don't know. It just feels like that sometimes, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it resonates, it probably resonates for a reason.
I mean, I don't put too much into it because I'm still on this whole other, like, thing of always thinking about what the hell and reincarnation and all this shit. But sometimes I'm, like, a part of there. Just like when you said that we go through each stages, what I instantly thought is, like, what if it's not, like, each stage? What if it's just like, because we know, like, have you ever seen the Tree of Evolution?
No.
Okay. Oh my God.
Is this
beautiful
a show?
No. It's on like a wall aquarium. It's in a wall in an aquarium in Seattle. And I'm pretty sure it's other places, but it shows you how we started, like the amoebas that we started as, and how they broke into this kind of fish, this kind of fish, this kind of this, the whale, da 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 da. Then the whale is land born, you know, because it this, and it shows you, and it's like a root or like a tree of, because you don't just have one amoeba that it starts from here, right? But then it goes like this, and like this, and like this, and like this. And it shows over the hundreds of thousands of millions of years that life has evolved on Earth. And then it shows you the top little bit, which might be smaller than an inch of humanity. Of life of the earth and evolution. So when I think about that tree of it, sometimes I feel like, am I already rooted there? Do you know what I mean? Am I also living these different moments of whatever the root of our evolution? Am I also living those? Because you said our souls are different. Am I also living this amoeba in earth? Am I also living this dolphin? Am I also living my grandma? Am I also living whatever the tree was before me? Am I also living those right now?
That is so fascinating.
just to touch on, because you were like, maybe
it aligns with what I said.
Yes, but just in a different way, not like specific life death. Mm-hmm. Even though, I mean, if you're a cockroach, maybe your life is short. Maybe it is something like this. Go do. Yeah. Like you get stepped on,
or your baby who dies.
Yeah, fast. Or like whatever it is. But I just feel like, is it that specific, or is it more just like we're still connected? Do you know what I mean? Like, we have this, but we're still some kind of... Because you have thoughts. Other people will have thoughts that they'll be same. How did that happen? You'll have memories of things you're just like, what? Like, right now, if you try to picture... I don't know. For me, I have, I remember sometimes, like, I feel like they're past lives. Because I've got memories of dying as a man in a truck on, like, a bridge or something in a car crash at night. And I've got, like, memories of it somehow and of dying. Like, I remember what it felt like to die. Which is how I got to sometimes some of my spiritual understandings of like before and after and this sort of thing and the consciousness. Because when I died in my memory, it was just like that, like this, but it was white. But it wasn't white. It was light, if that makes sense. So it wasn't a color. It was just the existence of light. And you're just there, but you're not alone, but you don't feel, it's not like an echo. It's not like a room. It's just like you don't even have eyes. It's just light.
So Dolores Cannon actually says that that's what we are I don't know.
We're light. Yeah. And so when we're in that, we're all connected.
We're all light. Yeah.
So we're all connected in this other. So, and then the way I kind of despite it, because I feel like sometimes religious people get kind of frustrated with me. They're like, oh, you're an atheist. And I'm like, no, this is how I see God. If you have a flashlight and you take a piece of paper and you poke a bunch of fucking little holes in it, right? Let's say I hold the flashlight above a desk and I put the paper in front of it. Okay. What the flashlight is all one big light before the paper. Yes. But after the paper on the desk, what is it?
Less light.
Little tiny holes. Yeah. How is that not us? How is that not us? How is that not us?
That's exactly how Dolores Cannon explains it.
And so when the paper's not there, we're all just one. When we're above this paper, which makes us our souls and these bodies and these little tiny holes on the desk, and that might be Earth or wherever it is, when we're not there, we're ascended and above the paper, which is just light.
Why do you feel that some people are like lightier than others?
Evolution.
Like their souls are younger?
No, like their brains are more evolved. Hmm. Our souls are going to come down for a journey. If you're a soul that needs more of a journey or cannot withstand this understanding or this, that, and the other, depending on what your journey is, you're not going to be able to conceptualize some things. They're just not. You need that simplicity. When I was a child, I needed religion to do the right thing because God was watching.
Yeah.
The devil made me do it. Just the kind of thing. Like, I didn't want to, you know, I don't want to be. There was this fear that some people need. And I don't feel like everyone needs that. And I feel like that's going to be your evolution process. But that also goes to us being all connected, because it's like, what part are you in? Yeah. Are you down here at amoeba level that's on the desk we can't see? Are you the fish in the sea right now? Because it's still actively happening. Actively.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can see even chimpanzees and apes, they're evolving.
We're all evolving constantly. Daily. Yeah. That's what I forgot, actually, until I came across the scientist and he was saying, like, in my mind, evolution was this, like, past thing that's done now. Like, it was the Darwin.
Because you feel like we're at the top of it.
Yes. And then it hit me where I was like, oh.
You want me to go one deeper for you?
Fuck yeah.
I'm gonna blow your fucking mind, because just the other day I was talking about my friend. Get this with me, and this is going to full circle. Please don't lose my hope and train of thought. So humans are evolving. We're growing new blood vessels in our arms, and I'm assuming it's because we're on our phones, and we're growing new blood vessels. Not only that, our jaws are getting weaker because the food that we're eating is very processed. Huh. Do you know what that does? That makes your jaw then get smaller. Our brains, we're using more access to them. Do you know what that does? That makes our brain get bigger.
So the forehead's projected to grow.
And our chins are projected to get smaller. What else can you picture that's like that?
Animal?
An alien.
An alien? Oh, my God.
So someone, I literally was having this talk because she had been abducted as well. And I was like, I asked her about what she felt. And then she said her brother had been abducted and he had told her about the situation, what they looked like, how they felt. And then we were just going deeper into this. She's queer and she was just talking about, and we're talking about religion and God a little bit. And she was like, what if that's just us in our future, in our this, in our that, same thing, same connection, same, but different dimensions. I mean, we only see, what, 10%, 12% of the Earth's colors? There are things here now we don't see, we're not aware of. We just don't, we're not going to have the perception. So, like, we're evolving to look even more like what we claim these species are.
That's really interesting.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that interesting? But think about it. If evolution's a fact and we cannot stop it, think about how many times that this might have happened. If you're a small civilization in the Congo somewhere where we're not supposed to touch, you know, you're an island that we're not allowed to touch because they don't have any internet and they don't have this and they'll kill you if you try to come and we want to respect and preserve that species. Imagine the New World Order obliterated itself. We set nukes on everybody and that civilization evolved to grow. They would come to these continents and be like, what life form was here? Mm-hmm. Who lived here? Who made these big buildings? Who did this? And then we're starting again. Who's to say that hasn't happened before?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Brain fuck. So it's like, yes, it's not the same. It's all the same. Because they would do the same thing. They would build their boat finally, and they would, someone would venture off that island that we've been protecting, but we've now killed ourselves as everybody else. I don't know, there's a zombie apocalypse, whatever happens. But now they're finding this new world that's your old apartment, but underground, under sand. Flourishing, you know, because we're the only thing that kills us. If we died, the earth would flourish. So
yeah, because humans are parasitic.
We are cancer. Literally, we act as cancer.
Do you know the Matrix, the film? There's a line in that where I think the agent was saying, like, the evil agent, I forgot his name. John or something like that. But he was like, don't you get it? Humans are parasitic. We have a parasitic nature.
Yeah.
And I remember coming into, like, consciousness of this, I think even in, like, high school, just through biology class, where I was like, I think we have a parasitic nature, but I didn't like that thought at all. I just shoved it down really, really far.
We don't live in harmony with things. Like, if there's an anthill, I'm going to wipe off the anthill to make my house. Yeah. I'm not going to live further away from the anthill.
Yeah, 100%. It's so interesting. But then when I go to, like, my dad's village, for example, or my mom's village, for example, they are more in harmony. Like,
for sure.
When my mom sees me buy oranges outside of winter, like, my hand's getting slapped. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? That's not the season for it, you know? And, like, she can understand if a vegetable or a fruit, if it's hot, like, if it's ready or not, by a sound that she'll tap it and it'll make a sound. Or, you know where, like, the root stem attaches to, like, a melon?
Yeah.
She told me, like, the smaller that is, the better the melon. The bigger that, yeah, like, but nobody, like, taught, I mean, like, you know.
She learned it growing up.
Because it's indigenous. And I remember thinking to myself, like, there's such a different harmony within, like, I've been having a hard time grappling in general, better time now, of, like, the hyper-individuality of Western society in America, where, like, I remember, I was just thinking about this last night, because I was hanging out with a friend of mine who's from Turkey, like, born and raised. When I was last in Istanbul, my cousin was hanging out with her friend, and they're, like, we're kind of degenerate kids, you know? They always be fucking around, skipping class, buying, like, beer and cigarettes and stuff. Her friend was, like, out of money, and my cousin was like, here, just handed her cash and was like, take it. And her friend was like, no, I'm good. And she was like, just take it. And I was like, I wouldn't see that here, where someone's like, just take it, and, like, take the 50. Right. Like, it's there's such a different emphasis. Our
society and culturally, yeah.
On money here. Yeah. And it's more expensive here, too. Like, the rent that I pay here in LA is way more, you know, relative to, like, rent in Istanbul and stuff like that.
They have a different understanding, though, of everything, like a family.
It's just different. And, like, that's something that I have been, like, unpacking and... I don't know. It's like, I don't know what the answer is. I think the answer is you find your values of what gives you a meaning in this life.
That's positive. Like, it can't be a negative meaning.
100%. Yeah. And then you can work your world around that. And yeah. I feel like even though, like, I'm in LA, I'm able to do that. Like, I connect with people like yourself or, you know, others who are like you. And I feel seen and heard. I value being seen and heard. I find friends who, yes, hustle. I'm a New Yorker through and through. I work multiple jobs at once. I will hustle till the day I die, but I'll always make time for my friends. I'll always pull up, you know, unless I'm exhausted. But, like, I value that, you know what I mean? So it's, like, a matter of finding community who resonates. I just think it's a little bit messier out here, like, on in Western culture.
You're not having the camaraderie, number one.
And that is huge.
And you're thinking about your village. You're thinking about a bunch of people who look like each other, have lived with each other for a long time, and are like each other.
And have common culture.
Yeah, and this country, this is, and I think it's beautiful, but we've got a bunch of different cultures that are trying to make their way in.
And what is culture? It's way of life.
Yeah.
So it would make sense for, like, your way of life to clash with somebody else's way of life.
Instead of us being, like, I mean, people who are going to vibrate higher are going to be more open and ask questions and be like, what is? But I feel like a lot of our human nature is to be afraid of things we don't know. And so we don't necessarily ask questions or figure out a way to make things, like, easy for both of us. You know what I mean? It's just about more about me. How do I help myself? Because whatever you got over there is scary.
So, like, humans also have an innately selfish...
Yes.
So...
Which is part of the parasitic problem.
And it's like, this is what I'm having a hard time reconciling. Like, you mean not hating
us? Like, not hating us as people? I hate people sometimes.
Yeah, so do I. And, like, I like them on a surface level. I love everybody. But when it comes to depth, I'm like a mix of Larry Davis, Ron Swanson, and, like, fucking... Mother Teresa, because I'm, like, super loving, and then I'm also, like...
I was recently thinking about her, like, who was she really, and was she really as good as people say? Because everyone's got... I don't mean to call judgment to her, but, like...
Did you see what the Dalai Lama did with that kid? He had him suck his tongue.
I saw him try to, like, kiss. I didn't see that.
He told the kid to kiss him, and then he told the kid to suck his tongue, and the kid did it. It, like, went viral. And I just feel like...
Do you see what I'm saying? And so, and that has happened over years. We've claimed someone's really good and we don't really know who they really are, especially when you're looking at before cameras and the social media. Like, you could say or do anything and you're away with it until you're proven otherwise.
Yep.
How many of our heroes? I mean, Columbus was a hero until we realized he was not a hero.
You know what's funny? So my dad told me this my whole life. He's like, none of you guys understand who the fuck Columbus really was. And then
he was a fucking terrible person.
And then he would be like, but don't say it in school. They're going to think you're crazy. So my dad always raised me with this knowledge, right. Just like true world knowledge, yeah. And then being like, but don't say it at school, the kids gonna think you're
crazy.
I wish
you would have, because I'm over there with white grandparents thinking, oh, la-di-da-di, we like to party.
So tell me about your parent, mom and dad. Is mom white and dad?
Mom's white, dad's black.
Okay.
Mom's passed. She was murdered by her boyfriend. It was kind of lame. Lame is not really the word to describe it, but I'm not gonna go too deep into it because then I get emotional.
I understand.
And then, but her parents raised me. So I just found my dad a few years ago.
How old were you when that happened?
When my mom was taken from me?
Yeah.
It must have been like 24.
Okay.
It was just a few. It wasn't too long ago. But now my dad's got issues too, and he might not be along for longer. And my grandparents.
Like health issues?
Everyone has got health issues. My brother, my dad, my grandparents. My grandma's fighting cancer, so my grandpa's not fighting it. He just has it. I don't think he's just going to see how long it lasts. My dad had a stroke, and now he's like have a heart something. My brother also had some sort of stroke thing. And I'm like, geez, life is hard. We're lucky we go to the sauna steam room, honestly, because we're adding years to our lives. And every time you work out, you add 3 hours.
You're also adding on to your life by pouring into it. Like being out here and pursuing your dreams.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But sometimes I feel like I want more. Like I want like a baby.
I feel you on
that's
that.
That's not our fault, though. That's our biology.
Well, you know, I didn't want one.
It's a parasitic.
I didn't want one forever. And then I had a moment, actually. Here in LA, I was speaking to a friend of mine who does acro. And she is from Oklahoma, but her husband's actually from literally here. And she told me about her giving birth. And that she did it standing up.
Yeah, I've had other friends who did it. Yeah. I mean, your body's not supposed to be laying on its back.
Right, and that's a whole...
But because men run the...
Yeah, don't get me started with that. You're not supposed to have birth child like that. But, well, I'm
You're
not
supposed to be in, like, the squatting position. Like
so
a poo.
So she was telling me about that she did that, and how her husband caught the kid. And I'm listening to her, and I'm like, I want that. It was, like, my first where I was, like... I think I want to experience that. And then I started seeing like healthier examples of family. Mm-hmm. And then it hit me, all these feelings started to come up of like all the envy I've had for people who have big families. Because my family is mom, dad, sister, parents are divorced. Everybody else is in Turkey. Mm. The loneliest holidays you could think of. Mm. Like it just was exponentially lonely and desperate. And then I would see all my other friends with these huge like Italian families, huge Mexican families. And I'd be like, I want a sports team. So lately, I'm saying that to myself too. I'm like, I want a motherfucking sports team. I never thought I would have this desire.
I have like one or two, and I want to adopt one. Yeah. I want to give another soul an opportunity to feel unconditional love. Mm. That I feel like that's
power. You will give that. You're so loving. I know. You have so much to give.
I want to be a single mother, and like, it's really hard to date nowadays. You know, it's not hard to date. It's just, I'm picky, I guess.
I'm so fucking picky too, but I'll never forget. There was this one woman who was my health insurance broker back home.
You love your health insurance. I love that.
I know. I don't know what it, you know what it is? I never had like my parents to be on, so I always had to find it myself. So, I found this woman. She actually was Turkish herself, too. She's in Long Island. She goes, I was single my whole life. I turned 30. I said, let me move to Turkey for a year. Like, fuck it.
That sounds like fun.
She goes, I moved, got married, and got pregnant in that first year of being there. And then they moved back here all together. And they're still together after all this time. And it's like, it happens very slow, I feel like, until it can happen.
She went to a country where men were men. Like, I feel like men are really scared out here in LA or in just in general, just to be like, they see their strengths as their weaknesses. They are problem solvers. That's a strength. So you get things done, like you court, like that's a strength, and they see it as weakness. They call it like simping and all these other things, but it's like women don't think the same way as men do. We have to carry a life. So by our biology tells us the long game for falling in love. We can like you and fuck you off bat. Sure, no issue. But like, do I want to stay? Do I want to be with you? Or am I going to take you seriously? That's a long game. Guys, they lust quickly. They can fall in and out of love very quickly. So it's like they think that we're thinking like them and we're thinking they're thinking like us. But it's just like, let us be us and let you be you. Like, you have to show me consistently that
you're gonna be there,
that you're someone that I want to be with. This is a practice to what would it be like if I was to accept you, if I was to decide to have sex with you and now I've got a baby by you. What kind of human would be? And of course, that always can change. But our natural biology is to wait it out. Let's see. Take our time. And the men get frustrated. Oh, I don't want to do a dinner date. I don't want to spend this money. But it's like, how much do you think babies cost? How much work do you think I'm going to do while I'm like 9, 8, 7 months pregnant? Like, yeah, that's going to be a lot of money. If dinner is a problem, so is that going to be a problem? And it's not because we want just your tricking off us. It's because I want to see like, if you got it. If you don't, this is not going to be happy. I'm not. And everyone's different. Everyone wants a different relationship.
Oh, yeah.
But what she did was she went to a country where they're not questioning that. Hmm. A lot of countries are like that.
I'm fascinated by how quickly it happened. And it hit me where I was like, once it happens, it happened. So like, it might unravel like that for you too, where it's really slow until it's fast. Like, hopefully it's
still how long is it going to be slow for?
I don't know, man. Don't ask me that.
I'm not even trying to be here that long.
On Earth, neither am I.
I'm trying to go. I had a dream that I fell in love with an alien worm, and that was the best. And I told him, this is after I thought I got abducted. I told him, I was like, how do I turn into a worm so I can love you like you love me? Like, you can turn into a human and you can love me like how I need to be loved, but how do I be a worm to love you that same way?
I couldn't do it. You might be done here. I'm going to tell you what my friend told me. You might be done here, but your soul's not. So, sorry.
Sorry. So, we're still here.
So, you got to see this through. Still checking. Otherwise, your ass going to reincarnate. Your soul's going to have your ass reincarnate back here.
I know. So, I'm figuring, there's something I'm obviously missing.
And, like, lean into the things that give you legitimate joy. Like, like, let's say for me.
Sex.
I love
sex. How do I lean into that?
I mean, you can try to. I've been, like, trying to put out feelers where I'm like, please send me someone who I trust.
I have somebody like this, but it's not, like, is
like, earth-changing sex.
No, it's just, like, it's just not, like, it's not my fit.
Yeah,
Yeah, like, it's not my fit.
So I'm trying to call that in right now, where I'm like, I want
I'm
it to
love
be,
him. I want to cry about it.
Hey, listen, you might be in a karmic lesson that, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You might be.
I need to think about that.
You need to just keep experiencing it. But this is what I mean by joy. I love flowers. Like, I just do. So I'll go on walks and I'll just touch them. That brings me joy. I love the way food, I'm lucky. The things that bring me joy are very accessible. I love the way, like, food smells. So I'll take my time cooking it, or, like, music. Like, I love the way it sounds, so I'll listen to music while I cook. Like, things like this that bring you joy. I love just going to the mall, even if I'm not buying something. I love looking at the fashion.
I like looking at things too.
Yeah, like that brings.
I like dancing.
That, exactly. So I'll try to block off time where I just go peruse at the mall, or I'll just like rent studio space for 20 minutes, let the playlist run, put on clothes that are baggy and make me feel like I'm kind of like a feather, and I'll just freestyle. Like, these are the things. I love good conversation. That's why I have a podcast. Like, connecting like that, leaning into the things that give such simple joy and pleasure, because we're also here to have fun.
Yeah.
You know?
We're here to experience all the human, the good and the bad. So I was talking to someone the other day, and he was like, oh, it's all bad, it's all bad. And I'm just like, but.
He's stuck on the, like, he's deviated.
Yeah, I was like, you've got a choice. You can either look at it as all bad, or you can learn, we're supposed to learn from that and keep it going forward.
And I get it, because like I've been on that, like, hyper, yes, and I'm me sure too. You have, like, me just too. Knowing you, I know you have, yeah. Like, where you're stuck in this like hyper fixation of the bad. I remember my acting teacher gave this lesson. I was just thinking about it yesterday on my walk, and I always think about this from time to time. She would give us lots of, like, what was that motherfucker's name in Karate Kid? Mr. Miyagi lessons, where
on,
we had to brush our teeth with our left hand. No music while we're driving. No GPS. Print out your directions before you go. And one of the other ones was go on a walk. Every other block, you oscillate between negative things you notice in the street and you focus on that. And then and positive things you notice on the street and focus on that. And she goes, watch what your mind does. So when you're walking, let's say two blocks and it's the negative blocks, point out all the ugly shit. Watch what your mind does, how it spirals. The next two blocks, start noticing whatever, the flowers, whatever's the hot girl, that girl, whatever, and notice what your mind does, how it starts feeling like a flourishing feeling. That was my takeaway from it. She didn't say spiral or.
I'm down for that.
I found that fascinating.
It is.
Because it's like hell and heaven, and obviously there's a layer of privilege to this, I'm aware, but hell and heaven, I think, are both a step away in this life. As quickly as you can slip into hell, I do think you can slip into
heaven. Well, you cannot appreciate one without the other.
Yin and yang, yeah.
You have to. Like, you have to have your worst days to know that's your best days. Otherwise, you take it for granted. And then what does life do? Humbles you because you took it for granted.
The fuck out of you.
You know?
Yes.
So it's like, but I think that I've reached now a point where that's very fascinating. And I was thinking, oh, maybe I could try that. But I have reached already a spiritual level right now where I'm vibrating where I don't like to think negative. And if I do think negative, I instantly try to change it.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to give someone a compliment. Or I used to, like, as I was raised by grandparents who would tease, and that would be what they thought was funny and love. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you know, they'd belittle you or make you feel less than. But they'd say they were just teasing or just joking, but then couldn't take it back. You know why? Because it's hurtful. You know what I mean? And I used to be doing things like this. Oh, you're so stupid. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean anything. Oh, that's ugly, but you don't mean it. But, like, here's the thing. Why? Why say that negative thing? Why
even put that? And the words come from somewhere.
I mean, even if they didn't, like, I literally was just saying them. Like, I didn't necessarily think it was ugly. I thought it was cute, but my mind would say the negative because it would be funny if I said, oh, it's ugly, but we both know it's cute. And I had to get to a point where I was just like, don't. If you think it's cute, say it's cute.
Be authentic.
Do not call your friends stupid. Do not call yourself stupid. Your words are so, so, so important, so powerful that even in jest, they can take hold and take flight. And I had to, like, now I've actively, so now I don't even like to, because it's easy to think negative, and then yes, you do spiral, 100% what you're saying. So now I just try to check myself. Anytime I think of something negative, I'm going to say something negative. If I say it, I correct myself. God, Missy, you're so stupid. I'm not stupid. You're learning and you're moving forward.
Yeah.
And I'll correct it.
To reframe.
Yes. But it's interesting what you're saying with the walking one block, because I'm just like, that probably could benefit some people who are trying to reach the next level.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. I was so...
That's actually, I probably will adopt that into when I'm talking to people about ways to change their mind frame, because I'm feeling like I'm all day.
And watch what it does. Like, we all have bias. We all have confirmation bias. So if you think everyone's fake. That's something that comes
to mind. Then everyone is fake.
You're going to start seeking out.
Your perception is your reality.
To confirm that, yeah. Where I came from, like, a more loving, and I thought, there's no way everyone could be fake. Like, there's something up with that, and I have found, obviously, like, fake motherfuckers exist. Fake motherfuckers exist in New York.
Do they even know they're being fake? Because no one's their own villain. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, in their mind, they're probably living their truth. Even if it is a negative in their mind, they may not think it's being a negative.
How funny is that?
We need that. We need more people to think like that. So we're, number one, not so offended by everything. And number two, realize it's not about us. Like, we're all having this. The way I try to explain it usually is I'll be like, okay, we can't trust people. Well, it's so bad. What do you mean you can't trust someone? I mean, you can't trust yourself. Oh, well, what do you mean by this? Well, think about it like this. If every day you came home, I made you a peanut butter jelly sandwich. You're like, fuck yeah, I love peanut butter jelly sandwich. I want to bathe in them, eat them every day. I can't wait. You go to work, you come home. I was at the store while you were at work, and I was like, oh, Gouda fire. Yes, I'm going to get her some Gouda, make her a grilled cheese because she knows she loves her sandwiches, but they got this sale. I'm going to hook her up. You come home. For whatever reason, I didn't know you were allergic, or it reminds you of your dead dog, or whatever the thing is that brought you negative energy now because you thought you could trust me. You thought you were in a peanut butter jelly. You knew that you could get that from me, and now you've been betrayed. There's a million ways to take that. She did this on purpose. She didn't care about me. She didn't, all these things, but it wasn't about you. My intention was to be positive, but the way you took it was negative. It's your perception. And the way you can get over that is ask questions.
Have you ever read The Four Agreements?
No, but I think you're telling me about that. Someone else also told me I should read that.
Because that's like one of the agreements is that nothing's personal.
But see, this is exactly what I'm telling you. Sometimes I'll have fucking opinions and epiphanies and thoughts that are already out there in books and in prophecies.
Yeah, but that's...
that's the higher consciousness.
I agree. I was going to say that makes perfect sense to me. Or like, do you know the book Big Magic?
Mm-mm. It's Girl, for... I'm trying to read. I'm reading Power of Now. I'm not done with it.
No, I got to. Don't worry about it. So Big Magic... is what the author talks about is like the universe will download ideas that need to be manifested to Earth when they need to be manifested to Earth, and it'll bounce from person to person until one of those people actually manifest it or until it becomes manifested. So it makes sense that higher consciousness, like let's say you have an idea of that and then I also have an idea of that, that could have been downloaded to both of us. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I just...
and that looks like truth to me.
I completely agree. That's what a big part of my purpose is. Like, I believe in astrology. I have an 8th house sun, moon, and Mercury.
I know. I love how much you know about it.
Is the house of Scorpio. And Scorpio is the sign of... is the detective sign. They always want to get under the rugs. What was shoved under the rug? What's actually the truth? What's actually the motives? They're the ones who can really irritate and polarize the fuck out of people because, A, they can see through people like this, and, B... people want to hide their truths, right? Because they're vulnerable. But Scorpio always wants to dig it out. So I know
that's for we're me, vulnerable. We can't help it. We're by default vulnerable.
And like so humans?
So I'm a Scorpio. So, but we're I'm like sensitive as all be it. But people think that we're tough or that we're this and it's that. And it's just really either a protection mechanism or it's meet me at my level mechanism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I can't help but be vulnerable. So I'm going to look for the most vulnerable and I'm going to sense that because that's where I'm already vibrating
at. Yeah, for sure. Which is probably why we connected. Before I let you go, where can we find you and what do you do? Like plug it in so that if anybody hears
this. Yeah, I'm an actor and I do plus modeling. I'm an ice skater. I dance. I make TikToks and Instagram. You can find me on I'm on Instagram, Misty Marie Actress, MistyMarieActress. I'm on TikTok, Misty Marie Acts, Facebook. I'm on some television shows, HBO, Netflix. Get bored and watch Insecure. I still get residuals checks from that. Or Rebel. So... and hopefully more things. I've got a movie on deck right now that I'm just waiting for the chemistry read for. That would be really cool. So, yeah, I mean, support your local plus size girl. We need love.
Yes. And definitely more to come. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
And that's a wrap on today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. Please share, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating if you gained anything at all from today's podcast. And we look forward to having you back next.